For more media content from Grace Community Church in San Antonio, Texas, go to gccsatx.com.
I've been thinking about anger recently. I want to encourage you in this area. Anger is frequently mentioned in Scripture. Anger is agitation of the soul, a violent emotion, also called wrath, indignation, or fury. Anger is the besetting sin of many apart from Christ, and even for some that are in Christ. We know there's more than one kind of anger. God's anger and man's anger. You know that the wrath of God is righteous and just. God is angry with the sinful ways of man, and he will pour out his wrath on all who have not believed in his Son and turned from their sin. For those who have trusted in Christ, we know that God's wrath has already been poured out on his perfect Son, Jesus Christ. A Christian's greatest rejoicing is in the fact that Christ has satisfied the wrath of God for us. He is the propitiation. Christ has absorbed God's wrath for us. Praise the Lord. In our failure to meditate on the mercy of God and pouring out the cup of his own wrath on his Son, which we deserved, but he poured it on Christ, in our failure to meditate on this, we often turn to our neighbor in anger, and we pour out our own unrighteous wrath on our neighbor. It's as if we've forgotten that the wrath we deserved was already taken by Christ. It's this kind of anger that I want to share about today, man's unrighteous anger. Spurgeon wrote, "When used of men, wrath indicates an unholy emotion to which man should not give vent." The fact is that the anger of man is often vented, can I say daily vented, by most of the world. As Christians, we're not people given over to anger, but the temptation is often there. Do we recognize that we need to fight anger? Or do we excuse it by giving anger new names, new labels, such as being impatient, short-fused, hot-blooded, having a temper, being in a bad mood, PMS, type A personality, waking up on the wrong side of the bed, being cranky, stressed, irritated, etc.? All of these are labels for unrighteous anger and just a cover-up for sin. We need to glorify God, being self-controlled and joyful, but anger can sneak up on us, can it? It can plague a Christian. Can anyone identify with this? Has anyone else struggled with anger? God is angry with unrighteous anger. There is such a thing as righteous anger. Though many of us would excuse ourselves as having righteous anger, probably few of us know what it is to have anger without sin. Listen to a few verses that condemn the unrighteous anger of man. Proverbs 14:29. "Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly." Proverbs 25:28. "A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls." Psalm 37:8. "Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil." One more. Colossians 3:8. "But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth." The first one that Paul says to put away is anger. And the rest of these sins are all connected with anger. Wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. These things are outpourings of anger. And what greater warning can we have against anger than the words of Christ in Matthew chapter 5, where he equates anger without cause to spiritual murder? We know that anger can lead to the physical murder of someone, but why don't we think about the spiritual murder that we could commit? I've been studying about anger these days because of my own recent battle with this sin. Yes, even the guy who never stops smiling can struggle with anger. I know that I'm not the only one who's been tempted in this way, so I pray that this lesson would be helpful. I've been getting angry with our children recently, and the Lord has convicted me. The Lord's brought me out of this terrible season. I didn't struggle with anger in the past. Like I said while presenting JC's testimony on Wednesday night, for those that were here, I said that I didn't even believe in spanking when she was born. I was so laid back and mellow, happy, but somehow Satan has got a foothold in me recently by getting angry with our wonderful children. I'm not particularly tempted to be angry with anybody else, but for some reason, I'm often tempted to lose my patience with our children. Recently, my discipline as a father has been motivated by anger instead of a desire to train my children. I wasn't concerned about this at first and made excuses and even blamed others for my impatience. I know Leanne was praying for me and her prayers were heard because I was convicted of my anger with the children. I prayed for full release from this sin. I sought help from the Lord, and He really has come through for me. I plan to teach a lesson today regarding India and ministry in India, but this has been a burden to my soul all week. And because the Lord has helped me with anger, I thought maybe He would use it to help someone else. This morning I'm going to share two major dangers of anger. Number one, anger grieves the Spirit of God. Of course, we should think of God first. Anger is grieving to Him. How do we know that anger grieves the Spirit of God? From Ephesians chapter 4. Here's an excerpt, starting in 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Skipping to verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Now, anger and stealing, in this section, I'm skipping over stealing, are connected with grieving the Holy Spirit. This is rather a mystery how a sovereign God, who does not need any created being to be happy, to be content, to be joyful in Himself in the Trinity, it's a mystery how He could be grieved by His creation. The fact is, God is so connected to His children by saving us through Christ that He can be grieved by His children. He was grieved by the Old Testament saints too, wasn't He? How many times did the Israelites grieve the Lord in their grumblings, complainings, idolatry? And the same thing happens today. I grieve the Spirit when I gave opportunity to the devil by letting my guard down against anger. Gradually, I didn't even notice I was angry. I thought it to be normal. I was comfortable and temporarily blinded to the sin. This is a bad place for a Christian to be, brethren. Grieving the Spirit leads to some distance between us and God. Some perceived distance. Grieving the Spirit hinders our prayers. I notice difficulty in keeping focus while praying in the mornings. I didn't feel as connected with God, nor refreshed by my time with Him. I didn't realize that the problem might be sin, and because I didn't recognize my impatience with the children and my anger for what it is. It's sin. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. The King James says it's slightly different. I will therefore then men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. I don't know which translation is best regarding the quarreling or the doubting, but anger and wrath are clear. Both anger, wrath, as well as the doubting or quarreling are certainly roadblocks to prayer. When the Spirit of God is grieved, He lets us know, and we will have a sense of some distance between us and Him. The former closeness is hard to achieve if we're sinning against Him. We will know if we are grieving God, for He's quick to chasten us by many means. That's the first danger of anger, grieving the Spirit of God. Now, a second one is anger hurts our relationships with other people. There are a whole lot of ways that anger can affect other people. This way of not loving people, being angry with them, really clogs relationships, really hinders closeness with people. It really grieves other people as well. Consider these quick examples of how anger hurts others. What about spouses? Colossians 3:19 tells us, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Of course, if you're being harsh, you're being angry. Ephesians 5 tells us to love our wives, husbands, as Christ loved the church. Was Christ angry with the church? No, He took the anger of God away for the church. If I'm not loving my wife this way, she will suffer. She'll be grieved. This rubs off onto our children, and the whole atmosphere of the home is different. During this time when I was struggling with anger with the children, these kind of symptoms appeared. Things were tense with my wife at times. And the children's behavior was actually worse than before. So it's a vicious cycle. A child does something wrong. The parent sins by getting angry, particularly during discipline. The child senses injustice has occurred. The child's angry about the injustice. The child does not repent of the sin that you're trying to correct them about. The child sees just your sin of anger, and the whole thing just gets worse and worse. Now the child goes away, not corrected, not having repented of it, and they're going to act even worse, and then your anger is going to get even worse. You can see what I'm talking about. Even if you don't have children, you can kind of picture this cycle, a vicious cycle. It's no different if you were struggling with a brother, right? We know that if someone speaks harshly to us and we speak harshly back to them, what are we going to get back? Probably even more harshness, right? And the Word of God says that a soft answer turns away wrath. A soft answer. That's how we need to respond to people when they're angry with us. And that's how we need to respond initially every time, soft answers. Going back to children for a minute, because that's really my focus, since that was where I was struggling. Colossians 3:21, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." It's very easy to discourage a child. Generally, if the parent is joyful in the Lord, then the child is going to be joyful. If the parent is discouraged and stressed, the child is going to be stressed. I'm also very concerned in this. I want to bring it up that the message I'm giving my children when I'm angry is a message about God. Are they going to think that we can lose the love of Christ when we sin against God if I'm angry with them when they sin? Are they going to think that one can lose their salvation because of what I am demonstrating to my child? Are they going to be outside the love of Christ? Certainly not. And God deals so kindly when we sin against Him. We ought to be able to demonstrate this to our children with great mercy. Quick to chasten them in love and train them up as God does to us, but not in anger. Think about relationships with parents. Is anger going to damage those relationships? I remember messing up my relationship with my mother years ago when I first turned to Christ, because she was still a Catholic, still trusting in tradition and false religion to save her. And I was angry about it. I had just come out of it. The Lord had saved me. And I confronted her sin and the false teachings of her church. And it really ended up causing a shut door. And there's still consequences as a result of that kind of anger today. When I talk to her, there seems to be a sense of, is this going to turn into a debate? Is this going to turn into a fight? In her mind, she's fearful of that because of the way I acted years and years ago. It doesn't matter how graceful I am now, my former attitude of anger affected her. Certainly the same can be said about relationships with siblings, with brethren, with co-workers, with unbelievers that we meet on the street. If someone accidentally bumps you in the store, you know, are we going to show anger towards that person or just great mercy? What if we're wearing something that identifies us as a Christian? What if we have a fish on the back of our car and we're having road rage? What sort of example is that of a Christian, of the love of God and the ability for God to make us a new creation? It's a bad witness. Now, things might seem hopeless with this kind of sin, with anger. How can we rid ourselves of such a besetting sin? Or even if it's just an occasional dreadful sin, how can we rid ourselves of it? What about anger specifically, since Proverbs 19:11 says, "A man of great wrath will pay the penalty. For if you deliver him, you will only have to do it again." Is God saying that it's impossible to be freed from the sin of anger? Are people freed from such a sin? He says that the person will only have to do it again. They'll only have to deal with the wrath of this man again and again and again. But God does give His victory to His people. We know that we, if we're in Christ, if we've trusted in Christ, that we're a new creation. Behold, old things have passed away and all things have become new. Our attitude, our whole spirit, our presence in people, with people, how we deal with people, it's going to be totally different. And I want to give you four things that I found helpful, that I still find helpful to combat this sin of anger or any sin and to gain the victory. Number one, pray. Pray. You knew that would be the first thing, right? Pray to the Lord. When I felt really convicted of getting regularly angry with my children, I pleaded with God to take the anger away. I came last Wednesday's prayer meeting having already been praying about it, and I shared my burden with my group. In God's kind providence, He had us sit with the Butterbaughs, and David agreed to pray for me and to keep me accountable. He prayed for victory in this area. I felt refreshed and strengthened after the time of prayer. God heard our request, and He did begin to give me the ability to remain calm and patient with my family throughout the rest of the week. I feel different. I feel God has given me a fresh start and a new perspective. I see that the damage that was being done, I'm again trying to avoid unrighteous anger at all costs, like I did before. Leanne and I also found out that her praying on her own was very effective. Instead of nagging me about what she was concerned about, my anger, she brought it to the Lord, and God convicted me. Isn't that how it's supposed to work? I would encourage wives. You see something wrong with your husband, you see a concern, bring it straight to the Lord. My wife didn't speak her concerns to me, but she continued to be kind. She continued to say good things. Even though she was burdened, how difficult must that be? She didn't give me the silent treatment. I wasn't in the doghouse while she was waiting for God to fix me. But instead, she helped me to pull me right out of this trap. Prayer is the best place to begin in the battle with sin. What else can we do? We bring it to the Lord first. That's our primary responsibility. But God also wants us not only to confess this sin to Him, but even to our brethren. We know that James tells us that it's helpful to confess our sins to each other. He tells us in James chapter 5, verse 16. Let's turn there for a second. He says, "Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." And that's what happened last Wednesday night in our small group at the prayer meeting. It was confessed, it was prayed for, and the Lord gave healing. So the Lord helps us through prayer. He helps us through confession with brethren. Even those that we've been angry with, why not confess it to them and repent for that? And He helps us through His Word. There's many, many more verses on anger in the Scriptures. Many more. Why not memorize some of God's Word and meditate on it, and this will help us with whatever sin we're struggling with. The Word of God is a lamp unto our path, a light for our feet. It'll show us which way to go. The Word of God will convict us and show us what we must be like. The Word of God shows us how to be this new creation. Think of some people in the Word of God that you could meditate on. Most of all, think of Christ, who, when reviled, did not revile back. The only anger Christ had was righteous anger. Now, some of you are probably thinking about the cleansing of the temple that he did twice. He was angry. In one account, it says he made a cord. He took some cords and made a whip and whipped the animals, the people, overturned the tables of the money changers in the temple, because the people had turned a house of prayer into a house of merchandise. He was angry, but this was righteous anger. When the people, on his last day here, right before the crucifixion, they're pulling the hair out of his beard. They're beating him, they're whipping him, they're mocking God. Some crying out, "Can't you help yourself? You say you're the Christ. Why don't you help yourself?" He was mocked more than will ever be mocked, yet he is the Almighty Sovereign God, and he was not angry. Even though he was 100% man and 100% God, there was never a struggle with anger. There was the temptation. No doubt Satan tempted him, but he was without sin. Now, what about those who are not good examples in Scripture? What about Cain? Cain is a man of wrath. He and his brother Abel brought some of the first sacrifices to God. And Cain brings the first fruits of his field. And Abel, his brother, brings a lamb, an animal, and he makes a blood sacrifice. Cain presents the best of his fruit, the very best. But it's not what God required. God required an animal to be sacrificed. He says that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And Cain's sacrifice, therefore, was not accepted by God. And what was his reaction? He was downcast. He was upset. And God even talks to him and asks him, "Why are you downcast? What's wrong with you, Cain?" And he thought he had every right to be angry, didn't he? He thought his anger was righteous anger. And he turns to his brother and he kills him. The first murder in our world. We know that anger can bring forth such acts as murder. And certainly, as we've already discussed, anger is spiritual murder. Who else in Scripture is a terrible example of wrath? I'm thinking of two brothers also in Genesis, Reuben and Levi. You might remember the Dinah incident, as it's called. This neighboring Gentile man defiles the sister of Reuben and Levi, all the 12 brothers. But Reuben and Levi, they pour out wrath more than we might imagine in this situation. They deceive the man that did this. The man wanted to still marry Dinah. They wanted to be one with the people of Abraham. And so what did Reuben and Levi say? "Become circumcised like us. You can have our sister. You will be as one people." And these Gentiles thought, well, we'll have their riches. We'll have their lands. They'll have our lands. We'll have their herds. They'll have our herds. We'll share. This is a good deal for us, they're thinking. Not to mention, this man really did want to marry Dinah after defiling her. And so they agree. The whole group of them get circumcised, and on the third day, it says when they were still recovering, when they were still sore, Reuben and Levi go in with swords and slaughter all these men that couldn't fight for themselves at this point. It says that they took their wives and their children. It says that they hamstrung the oxen, that they took all the other animals with them. They took the riches. They spoiled the city, including the children and the wives, because their sister Dinah had been defiled. What wrath was poured out on that day. And it didn't go without someone noticing. Certainly the Lord knows and rebuked them. But even Jacob knew in Genesis 49, Jacob's blessing his sons. And he says to Simeon and Levi in verse 5, Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. Oh, my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly, mine honor, be not thou united. He's saying, I'm sorry for the King James, but I wasn't planning to read this verse. He specifically says that he's not going to be united with these two children of his. Because of Jacob's honor, he's not going to be a part of them. He says, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God, as we'll see in James maybe next week from our brother. And certainly their wrath was a curse to them, even on the day of inheritance. They're scattered and divided rather than receiving the same as the rest of their brethren. Who else in Scripture is known to be angry and impulsive? How about King Saul? Here's David, someone who served the king faithfully. As a boy, went out and killed one of the king's greatest enemies, this giant of the Philistines, Goliath. And even when a demon comes and harasses the king, who is it that helps him? But David, playing the harp to cause that evil spirit to depart from him for a time. David was nothing but loyal and helpful to the king. He was faithful to the cause of God. Yet the king poured out wrath against David. He hunted him down for quite a long time. He, more than once, David had to dodge a spear that Saul threw at him in his wrath. And it was completely unjustified. It was unrighteous anger. So the Lord tells us, if we're struggling with anger, to focus on His Word, to get it in our hearts, to think about the examples in Scripture. He tells us to pray. He tells us to confess to Him, but also confess to our brethren. And I may also suggest that we speak truth to ourselves. This is another way to fight anger. It's certainly connected to focusing on the Word of God, but to speak truth to ourselves. When we feel anger or any sin coming on, we're able, if we so choose, to talk to ourselves. It's as if our spirit is talking to our flesh. There's no reason, Matt, to get angry about this, I might say. Have patience. The Lord knows. If it's about my children, the children are not doing this specifically to bother you. They're not trying to provoke you. They're being children. This is an opportunity for me to correct my children, I would say to myself. This is an opportunity to do what I'm called to do, to train them in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. I shouldn't see this as something that puts me out, something that wastes my time, something that disrupts everything else I'm doing. This is one of the most important tasks that I have, is to raise the children to be in Christ. And so you can say these kind of things to yourself when you're tempted to sin. When you feel yourself start getting angry, talk to yourself. Speak truth to yourself. Repeat verses in Scripture. So question, does one have to be a wife beater to be guilty of having an anger problem? No, but Christ obviously cares greatly about our words, our thoughts, our attitudes, as well as our actions. To say something harsh can be as devastating as a punch. To spank a child in anger generally counteracts all good brought to the child by the rod. We're told not to provoke our children, to train them up. Can we obey these instructions from God if we're angry? I'm guessing that any outburst or any severe chastisement towards our children will undo all the loving discipline, role modeling, and godly instruction that was given to the child that day. Another question. Do we need to be a man to be guilty of having an anger problem? No, but whole houses have been pulled down by the anger of a wife. I've even seen a church split in large part because of the actions of one woman. Proverbs 14:1 says, "The wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down." Women have great influence in our home and in our church. Titus 3 tells older women to teach the younger women how to love their children. To love one's children is the opposite of getting angry with them. Proverbs 21:19 says in the King James, "It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman." There's no excuse for men or for women. Women, build up your houses and protect against tearing it down with anger. Men, it might not seem masculine to control all unrighteous anger, but if you do it, you'll be stronger than the mighty, the Scripture says. For Proverbs 16:32 says, "Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." You are just as strong, if not stronger, than our beloved King David, who took cities, Joshua, who went and claimed the promised land, taking cities. You are better than one strong man like that if you can control your own spirit. If you are slow to anger, you're better than the mighty. Have you ever looked at self-control in that way? Have you ever considered these things? Are you discouraged and beaten down by the accuser because of your sin, brethren? Have you been deceived into sinning again? Are you in a dark season? Have you had days when you realized afresh how exceedingly sinful you are? Have you ever thought that you might be the chief of sinners? If Job, Isaiah, and Paul were all obliged to say, "I am vile," will you be ashamed to join in the same confession? Confess your sin to God. If need be, begin a saving relationship with Him through the work of Christ, or renew the close fellowship with God which you once had as a believer in Christ. Have you specifically struggled with anger and self-control? You must fight. Christ will give you victory, brethren. Doesn't He promise to make you holy? Hasn't He already shed His blood to redeem you from the slavery to sin. Press on until the day when anger and all sin is put away forever. Our spirit is in a severe conflict. We battle with the flesh, the word, and dark powers. But we have an almighty helper, even Jesus, the captain of our salvation, who is always with us and promises us that eventually we will be more than conquerors through Him. With such assistance, we can gain victory over anger or any besetting sin. Refuse to be conformed to this world. Renew your mind. Speak scriptural truth to yourself. Flee temptation. Confess your sin. Ask God for forgiveness and victory. Fight on, looking to Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, this is all I have right now to say to the brethren on this topic, and I pray somehow that it'll be used of you. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be people full of grace and mercy, knowing the wonderful grace that comes from you for our souls through Christ. I pray that we would not be like that servant who, once forgiven of a huge debt by the master, went and grabbed his fellow servant by the neck, commanding him to give what he owed. Oh, Father, let us be forgiving. Let us be free from anger. Let us be free from wrath, malice, evil words. Father, give us patience with our dear children. Give us patience with all people. Father, when an unbeliever blatantly sins against us, help us, Lord, to have compassion on him and to return a harsh word with a soft answer. Oh, Father, make us people of peace. Conform us more to your image. Thank you, Lord, for your deliverance and in my life just recently, as this sin had sprung up seemingly out of nowhere. And I just pray, Father, whatever sin might be taking hold of my brethren here, that you would give them victory. Father, help us to love you. Let us do this, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.